The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello, I'm your host, Peter Strachan. Welcome to this Stockhead podcast. Today, we're revisiting MetGasGo's projects in the Cooper-Eromanga and the Perth basins. I want to hear an update on recent appraisal drilling on the 25% held Vale gas field and the Cooper Basin's plans for exploration drilling in the nearby and also in the Perth Basin. To bring us up to speed, we are delighted to again welcome Ken Aitken, who is the company's managing director. Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Peter.
Let's begin with what I would classify as the most exciting and significant news about the company's work in the Cooper-Eromanga Basin. Can you tell us what the recent Vale 2 well has found and what this could mean for additional gas resources, not only in the Patchawarra Formation, which is already estimated to hold about 33 petajoules of sales gas, but also for the overlying Toolachi Formation?
Yeah, thanks, Pete, for the opportunity to update your listeners. It's been an exciting week. So Vale 2 has been drilled to TD and logged, and we announced the results just yesterday. And I'm happy to say that all of the objectives of Vale 2, were ticked off. We did drill through a good Patchawarra thick reservoir, similar to Vale 1, but we think maybe a little bit more net pay from what we see. And also in the Toolachi Reservoir, we recovered a gas sample from that zone. And we didn't get that sample in Vale 1. So we've got that sample going off to the lab right now just to check the constituents, CO2, etc. But what that means for the Vale 2, so it was an appraisal well, Vale 2, but the exploration part of it was proving up some gas in the Toolachi. We had 33 petajoules that were certified by ERCE independently before Christmas. And this additional discovery or sample from Toolachi will allow us to upgrade these reserves. Certainly we're going to go to most likely go to an independent certifier, and they will review the data once we get all the gas sample information through. We're the sort of pre-drill numbers were, it could be anywhere between sort of 1 to 4 to 5 BCF depending on the logged final petrophysical analysis of the log. So that'll be a really good addition to the 33 petajoules of reserve that has already been appropriated to the Vale field.
Ken, just to avoid a doubt, did the Vale 1 not have any gas in the Toolachi, or you just didn't take a sample of what was there?
Yeah, it didn't have the same the same porosity and permeability, and we couldn't get it. The hole was much bigger. We got a slightly better mud recipe in the well,
yeah,
and we got more of a gun barrel hole. So in Vale 1, the reason we didn't put that forward to ERC for reserve determination was that we wasn't sure from the logs the resistivity if it was gas or water. So
yeah,
what we did with Vale 2, we went up structure. I think we were about 6 or 7 meters higher. So the 3D seismic showed that in Vale 2, we were going to the we picked the location of the well purely to get up structure on the Toolachi,
yeah,
and test that and hopefully get that gun barrel hole, which we did do, and recover the gas sample. So all in all, I think we took the lessons learned on maybe the mud system on Vale 1,
yep,
got a better hole and got a sample. So there was a bit of doubt, and still is, until we really understand the resistivity and what it means. But knowing that the gas samples come out there, we're very confident that we'll increase our Valley reserves in that Talache Reservoir.
Yeah, and also, so when you tested Valley 1 in the Patchawarra, you got a good flow, you know, near 4.3 million cubic feet a day and up to sort of 7.5. And I think at the time Vintage said that they thought they could get it to flow at 5 million cubic feet a day on production. And you've just said that in this appraisal well, you've actually got a thicker sedimentary sequence. So that, again, you might have more room for the estimators to come back with a few more extra BCF just in the Patchawarra as well.
That's right. We'll be looking at the our estimates, because we assume, when you, as you know, you drill Valley 1, you assume a thickness across a square kilometre of top reservoir for the Patchawarra. And we'll look at this information. Geology is never like that. It sometimes thins, sometimes thickens. In the quality of the reservoir is, you know, it looks good. We certainly in the basal area, the what we call the VC50 area of the Patchawarra looks really interesting. But just going back to the Talache, Peter, one thing is, one of the good things about the Talache, what we saw in the Miller Darcy centipoise of the sample that came into the chamber, this could be a conventional reservoir. So we did have to fracture the Patchawarra, and I'm sure we'll do that as well in Valley 2. But there may be the bonus that we don't need to spend the dollars to get the Talache flowing conventionally, as it does in some of the offset Santos wells at Beckler. It flows quite strong up to between 5 and 10 million standard cubic feet a day.
For the benefit of the non-technical listeners, the Darcy's is a measurement of the permeability of the sediments. And so what we're seeing here is that the overlying Talache seems to have conventional sort of permeability levels, which means that the gas will flow nicely. Now, you're moving on, Ken, to get ready to drill the nearby Odin prospect, which is about, 10 kilometres to the west or something?
That's right.
Or neighbouring permit. What do the results from Vale tell you now about Odin? I mean, that must increase your confidence.
Yeah, it does, because what you do is you look at the seismic, 3D seismic across both Odin and Vale, and you see the similar top features. I'm just looking at the picture right now. Obviously, you can't see it on the podcast. Odin is a look. We call it a lookalike of Vale. It was the reason we farmed into PRL 211 about 18 months ago now. It was owned by Senex. Senex have now sold to Beach. So each of the three partners are taking a pro rata, effectively paying 100% for 85, and we're paying 25% of the well for 21.25%. So it's, for us, it was a good thing to do, because it sort of split. It was half in the Queensland block and ATP 2021 and half on PRL 211. So we're drilling this in the South Australia side of the border, it's very, very similar on a geophysical and geoscience basis, we believe.
And the good thing is you've got 25% on the eastern side, on the Queensland side of the border, so you get that as a bit of a bonus if it's a discovery.
That's right. Once we've paid the farm in terms, we're planning to put that development pipeline to Beckler quite close by Odin. You know, obviously, if we get the result that we want, so it'll be. And once we get an approval from a joint venture partner, Beach, and the rest of the joint venture, that would be another one of the wells that we'd be producing in what we call the Valley production hub, for want of a better expression. So that would give us, you know, three wells. Yeah. And we do have an option on the rig. It was a two firm well plus one option on the Schlumberger rig. And we're just reviewing the decision on which way to go on that option as we speak.
Yeah. Okay. So will shareholders see results by the middle of June, do you think, Ken?
Yeah, definitely. The good news for us on Valley 2 was that we were 2 or 3 days ahead of schedule. These wells don't take long to drill and log. The logging always seems to take a bit longer because you always add more points. But we were 2 or 3 days ahead, so we expect early June the first week in June have the results and hopefully announce a touch with another good gas discovery on Odin.
Yeah, so look, as I said, the Vale flow testing showed that production of about 5 million cubic feet a day from a well. So I guess final engineering for a production will depend on the results from Odin and the number of wells that your engineers tell you you require to fully develop Vale. But, would 10 or 15 million cubic feet a day be a good starting point for the hub?
Yeah, it certainly would do. I mean, we know that three wells can produce around 15. The hydraulically fractured wells do come off in production, relatively quickly. So you would certainly start. We'd certainly start at 15, and then see where the production rate levels. So given a good gas sales contract in the Eastern States, gas market is picking up. And today, I'm happy to say we got the final ACCC approval for the joint marketing to the Eastern States market. We had an interim approval in January. But that means now we can go full, and that allowed us to put indicative contracts together through to the end of the year. But we decided to hold off because the market was rising, and we'll certainly be in the market, and we've got contacts out through a gas marketer, and we're very comfortable that we'll get a good price and a good deal, and that was the reason we wanted to drill appraisal wells.
Yeah. So Ken, by July, let's say you're hoping that you'll have something like 50 petajoules of gas in the region, with the Vale upgraded, and let's say another 8 or 10 petajoules at Odin, I think that's the target there. What would be the timeframe to getting that gas into market, given the closeness of the transport infrastructure?
So we've already done the feed study on the pipeline, and as I said earlier, it's designed to run quite close by the Odin well, and it's about 12 to 13 kilometers from Valley 1 through to where the Bechler tie-in point is that we've been discussing with Santos. So as far as that goes, it's just the ordering of the pipelines. It's going to be flexible lines that we'll put in, probably two, to get up to that 15 million standard cubic feet a day rate. So that is, typically that equipment, certainly a couple of months ago, was sitting in I think it was in Queensland, it was available. So we have to put a water handling system in as well. There'll be water condensation. We need to clean the wells up a little bit as well. Maybe a heater in, because it's quite deep hot wells. So we'll have to take, not a heater, a cooler. Bob's your uncle, we're ready to, we've got to put the GSA, but also the processing agreement with Santos.
What's your next steps there at ATP 2020?
So ATP 2020, that is our other Cooper Eromanga Basin license, which a couple of months ago we announced some prospective resources on. Now that's going to be a shallow well. It's a prospect that we've mapped up after reprocessing the old seismic. We put the marketing on ATP 2020 on hold when the COVID-19 pandemic hit last year. We timed a run on the marketing with the oil price run, and there is quite a sizable, about 6 million barrel recoverable prospective oil resource in the Wyandra and Hutton Reservoir, and also about 13 BCF recoverable in the Talachin Pachawara there. So it's a very interesting prospect. So we've got a number of companies in the data room, and they are going through that data right now, and I'm hoping to have a good outcome and have an equally strong partner and get some drilling done in the same way we did on ATP 2021.
For the avoidance of doubt, those are prospective resources, undiscovered. That's the target that you're going for there.
That's right. And we, when we were looking through the data, there was a block to the west there that Santos had released, and we put an application in for that license as well, because we see some of the geological structures going into the block next door. So we put that application in. We will find that the results of that application from the Queensland government towards the end of the year, early next year.
What do you call a prospect in 2020?
It's Lockie, another another Greek god, okay. Odin and Loki. I think there's a Loki movie coming out as well, so it's quite a timely well.
Man, so, you're going to stick, when you're on a winner, you're going to stick with that sort of naming nomenclature. You don't go to footballers or something like that when you made it. So far, so good.
Yeah.
So how are you going for funding? Oh, you've obviously Vale is all funded. Odin, you've got to pay 25% of that. Have you got that under control for funding?
Yes. Yeah. The way that the farming went, you know, we had to pay that. It was just, you know, that is already funded. So we've put that down, just the way the farming agreement terms were. So we're fully funded through the Odin well. And then at the end of March, in our quarterly report, we had about 600,000-700,000 cash and $2.7 million of Byron equity, Byron Energy shares, which through previous relationships with Byron that we picked up over the years. So we're funded through these two wells, and we plan to, and I think we said this in our quarterly report, that that we will be, based on the timing of other operations in our portfolio and the development decisions that we take on Vale, we'll be looking to a funding strategy for both once we understand the timing more fully and the quantum.
Yeah, once Odin's done and dusted, you'll be able to know where you're going. So now, quite exciting, Cervantes oil prospect in the near shore, onshore, but near coastline Cervantes oil prospect. You've got 50% of that at the moment. You're working up towards getting a rig there. What's the current status of drilling? I think it's a 15 or 17 million barrel prospective resource.
Yeah, that's right. It's 15 million barrel recoverable oil. So it's one of the biggest undrilled oil prospects in certainly in the onshore Perth Basin. And I think Eric might have some bigger things up in the canning, but we are very excited by trying to, drilling that. It's going to be a deviated well. We are looking at the same three zones that Strike discovered in West Erregulla too, but they're targeting oil. So we've got the Dongra and the High Cliff and the Kingia. So if we hit that trifecta and we get, we think it's 15 million barrels recoverable. Risk did a study a couple of years ago and came up with 17. I know that area very well, having worked and managed the production operations for Origin. It's an exciting well. We're waiting on the environmental approval. We're inside a nature reserve there and we're working away with the EPA. We expect the approvals from the environmentals certainly before the end of the financial year. We have signed a letter of intent with a rig operator, and we're just waiting on that. We'd like a company called Refine Energy, who are going to bring a rig, have brought the rig over to drill a well on the Jingamaya field and also Jingamaya Deep, which is called Tamar. So before finalising that contract, we're just waiting in the confirmation that rig is going to drill prior to us drilling in Cervantes. We just want to make sure we've got a hot rig and crew to ensure that we get a smooth operation on Cervantes. The timing of Cervantes is currently at the quarter three calendar year this year. And getting the finalising that rig agreement and also getting the environmental approvals through will be the catalyst to what we do next.
Well, Ken, you've got a pretty active couple of months or couple of quarters, I should say, with evaluating Vale 2 and then the drilling of your Odin and then all the engineering and signing up the offtake agreements for gas and putting the pipe on the ground, going to be very exciting. And of course, as you move through, get that approvals for Cervantes and hopefully another well by the end of this year. If you've got a decent stake in 15 million barrels of oil, that would be a real game changer for Medgasco. So
it certainly is. We're paying 50% of the well for 30% interest. That was our promote in, and Vintage Energy, who are our operator on Valley are, came into that project as well. So we're, that would be a great result for us because oil prices, as we said earlier, is really good compared to where it was this time last year. It wasn't anywhere. So the timing could be great. And it's very close to the Jingamaya facility. It's a short 3-kilometer pipeline. So monetizing that, and we've already got plans for the selling of the oil. The BP Kwinana shut down. There's companies like Triangle and some of the other West Coast producers have struck a deal for storage down at BP. And it's an import terminal, but it can also be an oil export terminal. And there's other options as well up north at Geraldton. So I think commercializing our path to market is very clear. We just need to get that trifecta of reservoirs and we've hit a home run.
Okay, Ken, well, thanks for coming in today. That's a fantastic update. And we'll look forward to seeing what happens over the next 3 or 4 months on various parts of the business.
Great. Thanks very much, Peter. Thanks for the opportunity.